Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Black women, athletes, black both men, flow jokes. What's terrific is Jack and Jill, the best black women that ever
lived. Life is the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Call in at 646-727-3649. Call in now. Thank you, Black Athlete Sports Network, for sponsoring the Gray Leopard Cove. Year number 7. It's been 7 years since we started. Like to welcome our new sponsor, Reality Sports Group in Reston, Virginia. If you want to sponsor, check in the Cove email. Send news to Gary N. Gray at blackathlete.com or Norris19@att.net. Giovanni's Produce Store is another one of our sponsors that not only sponsors but has great produce. And it's located at 1600 Liberty Street, El Cerrito, California. You can call them at 510-235-1233. The New England Informer magazine, Doreen Wade, CEO, Boston, Massachusetts, with her Sunday afternoon internet radio program, which has informational black news sounds by the radio. www.soundsbytjradio.com. Miss Wade will be on WVON 1090 AM Chicago on the Santita Jackson Show on the Reporters Roundtable. You should listen to that one. Listen online, www.WVON.com. Michael Lewis Ingram from BASN and Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Saturdays on blogtalkradio.com, 11 to 11 Pacific Time and 2 to 4 Eastern Daylight Time. If you have a weak heart, don't come in here because it's strong and it's real. Speak your mind. You can call in at 718-508-9216. Get your Philly New York groove on with the Soul Patrol, Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. My second home, Gary's second home, is WCLM 1450 and www.WCLMradioonline.com. Sports Talk with Cowboy Reggie and the Professor Tony Cobb, the G-Man Glenn Brown, and Hall of Fame coach Lou Anderson with all the latest HBCU sports news. 9 Pacific Time, 12 Eastern Daylight Time. If you want to hear old school music, listen to P.T. Brown and the P.T. Brown Get Down weekdays. And don't forget the Little Old Mystery Man on Saturday afternoons. He will make you smile and make you laugh with music of the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. Listen to WCLM 1450 and WCLMRadioOnline.com. The heart and soul of Richmond, Virginia, sports writer and activist Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba from WUFO 1080 Buffalo, New York. Remembering Roland Rogers, CEO of BASN in New York City, and the family of BASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 with their support. Join the Cove Caravan, the Soul Patrol, Pad Nation, WCLM on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.blackathlete.com, and get a different look at the sports world. Call the Gray Leopard Cove at 646-727-3649. Have a great day.
Hi, this is Kathleen of the Kathleen Wells Show. We've been on a full year, and it's been a fabulous run, and you're going to want to join us. In fact, right now, we're doing a series called Voices from Palestine. My executive producer, Donna Nasour, she's in the Middle East, and she's conducting interviews right now with Palestinians in the West Bank, Palestinians in Bethlehem, Palestinians in East Jerusalem, and those interviews will be played on my show. So you're going to want to join us Wednesday from 2 to 3 on KCAA right here to hear voices from Palestine. You don't want to miss it. Join me.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at Pad for Truth on Twitter. That's at Pad4Truth.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Pocket is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, oh, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory, because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk, sports talk, sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
All right, welcome to GOC. Like to give us news out to all our armed forces, active and active today. On Monday, Memorial Day Monday. Like to give a shout out to all the armed services, past and future. Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. Yeah, get back at that for 1 week. Next week there'll be no gold. Next week there'll be a rerun. So get ready for that rerun next week. So, no gold. Once again, there'll be no Triple Crown. As we had 3 horses win the Preakness. Belmont and the Kentucky Derby, the Raiders won. So we will go another year without a Triple Crown winner. I thought Orton was going to win that one, but he fell back to third place. So, we have four of the original six in the Stanley Cup Finals. Tonight, Boston will play the Raiders. In the East, and Detroit, and Chicago. In the West, four of the six original six. And it would have been six if Toronto had played better. But that's where hockey goes. Also, had a battle with California. Northern Cal against Southern Cal. The LA Angels, LA Kings against San Jose Sharks. And I told people a week ago, a week and a half ago, because it's going to be a battle to the end. I still believe it's going to be a seven game between the Sharks and the LA Kings. It'll be goaltending. We will see in the NBA, it's a match between my eight and the Indiana Pacers. Or is it a war between the Midwest? And I hope the NBA survives the ratings with the four major market clubs, TNT, NBC, and ESPN. I hope they survive this mid-major Final Four in the NBA. Tomorrow, it'll be Gentlemen Charger Engines. The Indy 500. And foreign drivers have won the last six or last five Indy 500. So Americans better go out of eyes and win this race tomorrow morning, afternoon in the East. With another lady driver, Catherine Egan, fulfilled in the last spot in the grid. Car number 33 advanced in the grid. So check her out. She sneaked in. So good for her. Catherine Leggy from Great Britain. Mainly baseball. Back to quarter bowl. And the usual suspects at Metropolis again, as baseball never changes its stripes. In the East, American League East, you know who's in first and in second. Boston, New York, all over again. In the Central, it's Detroit and Cleveland. In the West, it's Texas and Oakland. In the National League, Braves and Atlanta Braves and the Washington Nationals. St. Louis Cardinals, yeah, I guess, Central. And surprise, the only surprise is the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, baseball being baseball, the usual suspects in the leading position at the quarter bowl with 114 games left to go in the season. 114 games left in the season. I will get back to today's games in a minute after we go through news of the week. It's across the finals. The Duke Blue Devils will be the Cornell Red. The Syracuse Orange meet Denver today. And the women, on the women's side, LIU defeat Limestone. We're division two, Lady La Crosse. And bowling, the outset of quite a wire. Number one, right, Marilyn, eat the door. Get upset. And that mouse. And the Lady Huskies from Nebraska defeated Vanderbilt to get the 2013 National Bowie title. And I know Marilyn, eat the door is very upset because they were going for 3 in a row. And no college has ever gone, no women's team has won 3 in a row. Nebraska has won 2 in a row twice. And a couple other schools have won 2 in a row twice. But Maryland's Eden Shore, HBCU folks, was going for an NCAA record for a 3rd straight title and did not make it. Romana at 646-727-3649. News of the week. But before we do that, we must salute our men in the armed forces. Let's remember our before we get to the news of the week. Obama. And we give that salute to him as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces. News of the week. Monday night, Tuesday morning, deadly tornado in Oklahoma City. Many more confirmed and 200 injuries. And many reports were coming to help again. Near Oklahoma City, the south of Oklahoma City. More and more of these nature occurrences are happening. Remember about 5 years ago, Republicans were saying that no such thing as global warming? Well, guess what, folks? Republicans are wrong again. There is global warming. The NFL Tuesday will pick the 2014 and 2015 Super Bowl sites. The NBA lottery took place. And Orlando getting the number one pick. Mike, and then the Cleveland Cavaliers got the number one pick. The 50th Super Bowl. The 50th Super Bowl will be going to the new stadium in Santa Clara, near San Francisco. So the Bay Area will have a good time in 2014. In 2015. The Houston, Texas will host the next Super Bowl after the San Francisco Super Bowl. They have the two picks. The next two Super Bowls after the one in New York this year. I think it's crazy. The one in New York this year. Now, you tell me. You have a Super Bowl in the middle of winter in New Jersey, Maryland. That makes a lot of sense. A Super Bowl February in northern New Jersey with no roof. Hello, Roger Goodell, are you home? The Seahawks released backup black quarterback Josh Bordes. DUI, and the same DUI of Rashawn Lynch. And we all know why they kept Rashawn Lynch. Because he's the running back of the Seattle Seahawks. And the main ingredient for Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are in trouble. They have many, many, many problems going on behind closed doors. And if you look at Pete Corral's record at USC, it was bound to catch up with him at Seattle. It has finally caught up with him this year. So Pete Carroll, a USC head coach. And yeah, I'm a USC fan, but I know this is trouble down the road. The LA Clippers released Main of the Grove. And they talk for a new head coach. Now, I feel sorry about Vinny DeNegro because this guy has guided his team, who was the bottom of the league, to two straight playoff seasons. And mind you, they have knuckleheads like Blake Griffin, who nobody listened. He wants to make commercials. And they're playing basketball. Blake Griffin has not won a single title. And yet he's got three commercials. Now, what's happened to LA Clippers in Staples Center, and they got a big head. And that big head got blew up by the playoffs this year. What do I mean? What I mean is, you got to produce first and talk later. The LA Clippers have not produced anything somebody in a commercial. Think about it. It's LA. Okay, yeah, okay, Oklahoma City, Thunder, Stars, Kevin Durant, just run up victims $1 million. No, that's fine. I'm very happy Durant did that. But they're African American baseball, basketball players. We get $1 million to HBCUs, the inner city high schools. From his problem was stopped. Now, Kevin Durant can get $1 million to Toronto victims in Oklahoma. Why can't he give money to schools, inner city schools? In Oklahoma. Okay, so I have a problem with this. Because schools are falling apart. And these guys have the resources to change it. I'm glad that I did that. But come on. You have to help our own. And we're not doing that. The African Americans got money. Help people out. I know I would have had the money. I would do that, but hey. What can we do? Okay, Kevin Durant, get the money to tornado victims. And President Obama will be here tomorrow to visit the area. And he immediately gave aid to the city of Murray and the city of Oklahoma. On Wednesday, man, read my mind, the NBA, read my mind. The Hornets return to Charlotte as the Wildcats change their name. The NBA gets it right. The New Orleans Hornets will now become the Pelicans. I think it's a wonderful name. The New Orleans Pelicans. Indeed, the NBA gets it. Well, the NFL, well, don't get me started. With the Washington Football Club, hello. Anyway, congratulations to Charlotte and New Orleans for changing their names to the correct names of their franchises. New linebacker, Chicago Bears legend, Brian Urlacher, will retire. But he kept the Miles of Midway linebacker crew together, alive and well. And it must be very difficult to follow in the footsteps how many well-known linebackers in Chicago. So we will miss Brian Urlacher. And I hope the Bears will continue the tradition of the Monsters of the Midway. Mike Trout in his first cycle for the California Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. A victory over Seattle. And it's the first cycle and the youngest player to ever do it. Congratulations to Mike Trout the Cowboy Angels on Thursday. Okay, all you New York Knicks fans, close your ears. Turn the show off. Good news, I gotta tell you, that's not good news. Carmelo Anthony will be sidelined at the beginning of the season. As he had a torn labrum, Mrs. Bonnerham, the whole last half of the season, and he ignored it. And Knicks fan over here is. New York Knicks lost last week. Indiana Pacers. And they lost this series in the first game of that series. And they haven't won the first game of that series. The Miami Heat will be playing the New York Knicks right now. But because the New York Knicks lost the first game, it gave home court back to Indiana Pacers. And it didn't give back to the Knicks. And the Knicks have a major problem. And they got to solve this for next year. The Knicks have very good, what we call it, style players. Players that can play defense and can play offense. Players that can play offense and can play defense. So there's a crazy mixture on that New York Knicks team. They got to solve it if they got to move on to this round next year. Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire, but they have to get along together and work as a team under the defensive boards. Because the Indiana Pacers smoked them under the board and as well beat them in that series. All right. Bad news for the National Football League Conference winners. The 49ers had Crabtree get injured. And the Niners are already looking at many other options. It's a contract year. And man, that's exciting. So don't be looking for Crabtree in red and gold uniform this season. With every team in the NFL trying to cut contracts. Here's the ditty. So, it's Friday. Did you over? Did you support Black businesses? Did you buy Black? If not, at your homework for next week, we must support our own. I'll get into that though, later in the show. We'll talk about baseball at 42. We'll take a break here and get a song for our services.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only three win the Green Beret. Trained to live
hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day. Courage takes from the green beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today. But only three with the green beret. Back at home, a young wife waits.
rebound in the fourth quarter. I got the game. We'll see. We will see. I think it'll be a war. I'll go to 7 games. We'll see. We got a better England line. But England is there.
What up, G?
Hey, you know what? I mean, that Detroit, Red Wings blowing up the Chicago Blackhawks, man.
Well, my brother, I think our fears were realized. You know, we talked about this a long time through, and I'm actually reworking the last Popsicle Brothers column we did to reflect everything that's happened thus far.
Okay.
But what bothers me is we're not going to get to see in this really shortened season where a lot of great things have happened. Probably one of the greatest efforts in regular season has been wiped out.
Yeah.
And that happens to be Sugar Ray's record as a goaltender.
No.
Now, Crawford has been playing well. I can't knock him. But, come on. Ray Emery was 17-1-1. I hope my numbers are right there, guy. Yeah, that's right. 17-1-1 as a starting goaltender. Now, he won his first 10 or 11 games, was undefeated for something like his first 13 games before he lost.
He had the NHL record for 10-0-0. Nobody ever done it before. No one's ever done it before.
No one. When you given the short schedule and the pressure and everything else that was there, but you got to give Chicago credit. They had two good goaltenders. They spaced them and gave them rest in between.
Mm-hmm.
We saw goaltenders run out of gas, like I saw personally with Ilya Ryzgalov in Philly. But Emery handled it, and I had every inkling, and I think you did too, that when the playoffs rolled around, the goalie in net was going to be Emery and not Crawford. So Emery getting hurt, and I was still fuzzy on what actual details happened. I know he had had problems with his hip before and replaced it. What was the actual injury?
They
said
it was a lower right
groin
muscle. Okay. And the same side, and the hip muscle. I believe. Go ahead.
I'm saying if it's that same area, and obviously if it's the groin, you can't move. But it's a shame that Emery, who I thought, frankly, was going to be or had the potential to be the second coming of Grant Fuhr, is never going to get a chance to show just how good he really was. I mean, after everything he did at Ottawa and how they disrespected him coming out of Canada, you know, the Mike Tyson incident where they're trying to piss on this young man because he's got Mike Tyson, a champion, on his helmet, and they're trying to say it's animalistic, yet Curtis Joseph can wear his helmet with Cujo, a wild damn dog from Stephen King, and nobody says anything because it's his nickname. I mean, the NHL's priorities were definitely skewed in that aspect. But when you see what Emery has done, in spite of his injuries, a winning record with Philadelphia, when Joseph Heller went down, he was goaling for the Ducks and almost played the position well enough to get them into the Stanley Cup final. They lost to the eventual light hot Jonathan Quick. But Emery has been a winner everywhere he's been. And I'm sure Philly would have been Philly really was regrets having to let him go and spending a shitload of money for Ryzgalov, who played well this year, but is not the sturdiest goalie when it comes to basics. His stick work is bad, so he's got great reflexes because he has to make it for his stick work. So I'm not trying to trash him. But when you weigh all of these things, and we all understand that defense wins championships, that defense in hockey starts in the net. You get a hot goalie like Jimmy Howard right now, what you going to do? You know, they ran into one last year at Mike Smith, and now they had a Howard. You know, the problem really isn't Crawford's problem. And I don't even think it's Kenfield's problem because, like I said, I think we both agree Kenfield was going to start Emery. The issue now has to be Jonathan Toews. Taze has got to.
But yeah, well,
man up. Taze has been he's been an invisible man for somebody who commands the puck as much as he does, and all the other supporting cast. Taze has got to be the man to pick it up. So
I know. You know I'm gonna ask you. I got you here. It's John Tortorella's job at Jeopardy. I think he's already gone.
I don't think it's in jeopardy because I think what happened in transition is the Rangers, went from being a finesse team to trying to be a tougher, more rugged team. And in doing that, talent has to match up. Tortorella, when the season started, we all thought that it was going to be a bomb squad because you had Marion Gaborik, Rick Nash, Brad Richards, you know, it's like, are you kidding me? And Gaborik ended up being demoted to fourth line. They pick up Ryan Clough, rugged kid from your Sharks, and he fit more into their scheme almost immediately. They have arguably the best goaltender in hockey right now in King Henrik Lundqvist. And with some youth, Stefan Delzato, others like that, they have a chance to really be a powerful foe for my Flyers and everybody else in the division. Well, they always give the Flyers agita anyway. But having said that, Tortorella needs another year if this is going to work. And because he's getting transitioned from a finesse to a more rugged style, I would say because they managed to survive that first series with the Capitals, that they're going to give him another year. I'll be very surprised if they let him go, because if they do let him go, obviously somebody's going to scoop him up immediately.
Well,
he doesn't have a Stanley Cup in his pedigree. I'm sorry, go ahead.
My thing with Tortorella is the way he handled Rick Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, but when Rick Nash came to New York, the OD need to stop playing. I was about to do it, and it didn't stop playing. And
I think it took him a while to get going, Gary. You know, Nash has always been a scorer. He's always been on the first line and all the other things that go with it and whatnot. He's always been the focus for a lot of attention. But, you know, you came to New York, you know how New York can be. Certain athletes gravitate to it and some run away from it.
Right.
In a short season like that where everything was magnified, and remember, everybody stayed home. They were all Eastern Conference games. Eastern Conference played Eastern Conference.
Right.
You know, the West didn't step out West. So Rick Nash never got to play his old Columbus team, you know, which we know will change now when the divisions are realigned. But all of that said, Nash and everything that he can do would make him a keeper for a New York Ranger team, regardless of who the coach is there. You know, Columbus gave up a franchise player. I'm sure in a more perfect situation, they never would have allowed Rick Nash to leave. Nash would have been their Jerome Iginla. He would have been their franchise guy, the one that would be in position to set all the records and all the things that would be, you know, standards for any future Columbus Blue Jacket. But now that they got him, they got to keep him. And they need Tortorella to at least have another year with him so they can find out whether or not it's going to work. You know, I think it was kind of unfair given it's a short season. We thought at one time it wasn't going to be a season.
Not that
we can call this a mulligan, but given the talent and the short amount of time, I would have to say we have to consider Tortorella or any other coach for that matter getting a mulligan on the whole year, because it's not a fair assessment of what could be done over the course of an entire season.
All right, next question is, will New York beat Boston tonight?
No. I think... I mean, look, as much as I made the argument there, I don't think they're going to beat Boston tonight. And I think because Boston made the right choice. We just talked about goalies and all that.
Yeah.
Remember, Boston had to choose between Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask.
Yep.
And at the time, Thomas had come off the Stanley Cup and all of that. And never mind his politics, but...
I like Tim Thomas because of what he did years ago. The way he ragged on President Obama.
I was going there. You know, that might not have nothing to do with how well he can play on the behind the net, but he disrespected the president. There was no need for all of that shit. You know, you could have just gone there, and if you're going to not go, then that's fine. But, you know, I'll put it all out on Front Street. When Craig Hodges didn't go, he had a clear reason. He said, I don't agree with the policies, blah, 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 boom. And, you know, it wasn't the photo op that they wanted. So Thomas essentially did the same thing, but they paid for it. And the Boston management decided, okay, just like in Chicago, we got two great goaltenders here. One of them's got to go, you know, in order for there to be a more harmonious situation chemistry-wise. They chose Rask. And maybe they chose Rask knowing that with the success of others like Pecorine and the others, the Finns have really been the number one country in turning out talent behind the net. You know, Antti Niemi, Rinne, and Rask. Mm-hmm. And I know there are a couple of others out there whose names I can't mention off the top. But ultimately, Boston made the right choice. Rask played well. You know, Boston's defense, always stalwart with with that huge 6'9" rascal on the back line.
Right.
You know, kind of hard to miss him. So Boston really did everything that they were supposed to do. Patrice Bergeron, Marchand, you may say Marchand's a dirty player, but, you know, he's one of those, if he's on your squad, you want him on your squad. So... the Bruins, they did everything they were supposed to do. And now it looks like if they handle their business tonight, it's a showdown with Pittsburgh.
And that's good. Boy, I've been waiting for this matchup all winter long. Boston against Pittsburgh. This is going to be the best Eastern Conference final I've seen in years.
It's going to be intriguing, bro, because we all know team sports are about matchups. And what Pittsburgh did in picking up Brandon Morrow and Jerome McGinley makes them probably the strongest offensive squad we've seen since the early 80s and the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, you literally have four lines that could be first lines on almost any club, and they all score. It's like, you don't have any break. We already know Jerome is a strong two-way checker, and Marl's a two-way checker as a center. It's like, this is your fourth line. It's like, that. When you see that talent all the way through with Stahl and Malkin and Pasquale Dupuis, I mean, these boys are loaded. And we know the only reason that Pittsburgh got as far as they did was that they were smart enough to take out Marc-Andre Fleury, whose opponents were watching a lot of tape from that Philly series last year and seeing where he was vulnerable. So he sits down, Tomas Vokoun comes in, saves the day, and all Vokoun has to do is just don't let in any soft goals. I mean, he's an NHL caliber G. So if he doesn't let in any soft goals, look at all the firepower they have in front of them.
That's
you got to believe Pittsburgh can think that they're never out of any hockey game.
Yeah, but Reggie's not, man. Go ahead, Reggie.
Well, what Cowboy
doing on in there? You know Cowboys don't know nothing about no hockey.
Oh, please. Don't even go there, man. Hey, from the days of them throwing watermelons on the ice and then looking at black folks as they crazy up in Canada, as my man T-Mac did back in the day where they talked about the hockey players back in the day. And I was the one that told my good friend Gary that the Caps will once again fold up like Sam tonight. I mean, Vetsky, he won't sit up in here and complain about the officiating, But check it out, Mike. The next day, he goes to play for the Russian team. But yet, like a little bitch, he want to stand there and talk about the bitches. And he's the captain of the team. But yet, you can go play for your home country, Russia, the next day. But yet, you're supposed to have a fracture on your foot. Come on, give me a break. I mean, don't get me started. And I want to say one thing. I want to say one thing to both of you guys. It is amazing in the Olympics, there's no fighting. In college, there's no fighting. But yet, because you have the bloodthirsty, conservative European fan that wants to go there to see these guys beat the daylights. And here's my question to the owners of these pro teams. You have an investment. The young man with the Penguins who had multiple concussions, how much money do they lose with that young man not being on the ice? But yet they want to get out there and have these goons. I mean, back in the day when up in Philly, you had the bullies up there. The brother was Donovan Shore, but that cracker took a hockey stick and hit him upside the head, and the brother went into convulsions on ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't get me started with hockey, brother. Oh, yeah, I follow it very closely. Don't even get me started.
Go away. Go away.
Yes, sir.
Let me do this. Your wife and Cameroon never win because the Washington Capitals lack one thing. That's heart. They had no heart.
Looking for a heart.
Well, you got to look at Ted Leonsi, the owner. You know, he calls himself having hockey people in there. This guy is just like Daniel Snyder. Look at this as being, you know, like musical chairs, you know, who you can put up there. And as far as I said, Vetchkin should have been gone. They could have traded this guy away, you know, but just like he does the Washington Wizards, he doesn't have a clue. You know, he has a lot of money, but, again, they had a couple of hot runs where they went to the finals one time. Last year they went to the Eastern Finals. And then they put a new coach in there, and it took them half a year in a strike season, I might add, that they finally got to play together. But then when it came to crunch time, they couldn't deliver. You know, they should have won the series. Choked like a dog on the bone.
Somebody needs to get in Alex Ovechkin's grill and tell him, look, we're playing for Stanley Cup. You get your bottle of ice and you play. That's the problem with Washington. Number 8,
I gotta respectfully disagree slightly, only because there wouldn't be a Washington Capitals to that level of success if it wasn't for Ovechkin. Ovechkin gave them some level of attention. But having said that, we see Washington, ironically, consistently do something that very few NHL teams do. We're on the precipice of something really important. And as I was talking about how Ray Emery's numbers were going to get lost in this shortened season, when the National Hockey League's draft comes up later on this year, the first player to be drafted, if they've got any sense, is going to be an African-American young man named Sean Jones.
Yeah.
Who is the son of Popeye Jones. Now, I know you remember him,
right?
And he was playing power forward.
Yeah.
Sean Jones, 6'4", about 230 pounds. He's a defenseman, and that makes him a valuable commodity right off the jump because the hockey teams are in that point of the season where they're trying to load up and get that one or two people that they need to round them up, they're always looking for defensemen first.
Yep.
So this is a kid, Sean Jones, who, again, son of a professional basketball player, grew up there, fell in love with hockey. Apparently, Joe Sakic, the great Joe Sakic, former Colorado Rockies star, taught him how to skate, or at least was a mentor in some form to him. And now you got this kid who grew up not in the Canadian North, not in some hockey hotbed like in the state of Minnesota, you know, like Dustin Byfuglien, but grew up elsewhere, and now he's going to be, if they have sense, the first selection in the National Hockey League draft. That's significant because it means that the National Hockey League has to get past whatever racial bugaboos they have, and we know they do. But now they're going to have to deal with the fact that that talent pool is not just relegated to Europe or are relegated to, you know, Canadian provinces, they understand now, like Cedric the Entertainer used to joke about, that Junebug is coming to the National Hockey League. And Junebug ain't coming from the ghetto. Junebug is coming highly skilled. He can skate. He can shoot. And don't fuck with him because he will whip your ass. So this is what the National Hockey League has got to be ready for. I don't know if they are ready for it. Because if you remember, when Dustin Byfuglien won that Stanley Cup or helped Chicago win that Stanley Cup, and he knocked the crap out of Chris Pronger, when he held that cup up, he was booed. I mean, it was like, you know, we booing that blankety blank because not because of what he did, you know, being a worthy opponent, but because he was black. And the National Hockey League is going to have to address that if they're going to go forward, because their product is good, and they've got potential to go back into that pantheon of being a major sport that attracts everybody and attracts new fans and young fans. Because just as baseball's losing them, hockey, by dribs and drabs, have been gaining because the product has been so good. If they
I got to disagree with you with the Caps, man. I know what you said, but the bottom line is they had a great farm team. They had people out there, and again, Ted DeAnsa, in my opinion, you know, put hockey people in place to do the picking. But Vetsky up in D.C. has been like a whore up and down the nightlife, and it has affected the team. See, that's a little, because LeVar Arrington talked about that in the show. That's why he's not following. See, you heard the rumors about the guy being out of shape, not playing his potential. Why? Because he's enjoying the states and nightlife. You know, and again, how many times do we hear a certain cancer is put into a locker room because of a person off field problem? But yet when we have a European out here that does it, you don't see the mouse in other people 24/7. But again, this has been the young man with the Jets, Mr. Smith as the quarterback. Let him go out there and act a fool. I mean, he just fired his agent. And all hell break loose. So again, you're not getting a gist about what's going on. So like I said, brother, I gotta respectfully disagree. You guys know more about hockey than I do. But my thing is that when it comes to the nightlife and what's happening in D.C., 106-7, the fan up there in D.C. with LeVar Arrington and my man Mark Gray, they don't play because if they're out there, they love to get dirty. They don't care what color you're up in New York, up in D.C. You getting that ass? You're getting
I'm
all
down
that.
With
ass.
That. I have no beef with the nightlife because. That's out of my theater expertise. I don't know what they be doing off the ice, but I can tell you this much.
He's been screwing up.
This is only for black people. This is for the people, his home folks, people there in Oklahoma City. and surrounding area. He did that as an act of humanity. And instead of seeing the humanity in this young black man, they punished him by putting out this poison. And I was disgusted with how they did this, and even more disgusted that nobody spoke up for Durant.
Yeah, we can speak up for him. They
One thing that really gets me about the whole situation is that Kevin Durant gave $1 million to Oklahoma State, which is fine. I understand that. My next question is, where is that $1 million when it goes to HBCUs? Where is that $1 million?
You had my money. You had my money.
Inner city. That's where I get upset with.
You got the snakes out there. Maybe I'm gonna get people mad at me what I'm about to say, but brother, just like some HBCUs, just like some inner city, you got those snakes out there that take that $1 million. And matter of fact, I go better one than that. When 9/11 hit, you had the American Red Cross ask for donations. When they got those donations, what did they do? They used it to upgrade their facility. The money's supposed to win. Do you remember that, gentlemen?
I remember that stuff.
They used that to upgrade their facilities. And people would say, what the hell is going on? We want this money to go to the victim. Yeah, they're victimized. It went to administrative costs. So I'm just saying, this brother gave $1 million. Huh. Don't be surprised we hear administrative costs a whole lot. And the Red Cross was there. Go figure.
we've seen abuses. They already reported one instance where people who were trying to buy water were having the water prices jacked up. I mean, crazy prices, like $40 for a case of water. You know, because you got carpetbaggers trying to abuse the situation, and you know, those won't reach the light of the mainstream news day either, because people will ask questions just like you'd ask, like, where is this money going? And if it is going to the Red Cross, who we supposedly can trust, are we making sure that all of that money is going to make sure that those people in Oklahoma City get taken care of?
Mm-hmm. Like, well, right, they got taken care of. They got bombed.
Well, like I said earlier, I don't mind going direct to you $1 million. That's a good thing. Richmond, California, we had schools that were falling down.
Mm-hmm.
And people, let me get straight here. We have a lottery every week. That lottery is supposed to help schools. Where's the money going? Where's everybody going?
Join the club, Gary. The same game. And Mike, what about Philadelphia and Mayor Netta? First act he did. I know they get tired of me saying this, but
I'm tired of talking about Mayor Netta, because yes, he's done that consistently. You know that we see this kind of perniciousness done on the part of these people, and people are powerless to respond to them is what makes it even worse. We talked about how Chicago is going to be victimized by the mayor there, Rahm Emanuel, you know, taking money away from schools in there. That's important because, you know, too often the Republicans are being painted as the villains here. There's just as many scumbag Democrats doing dirt out there that's affecting everybody. And 50 schools in Chicago are going to be closed, and in the same breath, the mayor is going to have a press conference and tell you he wants to get funds so that DePaul University can have a brand new stadium so y'all can see some stupid basketball games, because, as Gary said always, the Big East now has peeled off in its own conference. They're going to work their own basketball deal, and it's going to be part of more and more slave labor, young men going to school to work them hardcore basketball plantations and not get paid for their work. But we're going to see the Mouse and all the other, you know, sports entities trump how great the tournament's going to be. You know, these kids are getting tired, man. There's no reason. Look, we have to be real on this here. If you grow up in a situation like in Chicago or anywhere else where education is hard come by and you don't have a strong parental backup or support system to foster an atmosphere in which you can learn, you're going to end up in jail, or you're going to end up not making much. And it's all a question of where you make that money. You can make it in jail at 20 or 30 cents a day, or you can make it, or an hour, whatever the rate is, or you can make it outside, minimum wage. They're trying to throw so many obstacles up in front of us. And what I say might, as you like to say, Reggie, might make some people upset, but this may pave the way for a separation. I'm not talking full segregation, but I am talking about a situation where, for our own survival, our own schools need to be taken care of by us. You know, our own institutions for taking care of us have to be taken care of by us. This is not separate but equal, because separate wasn't equal to begin with. But having said that, the inclusion has been even more unequal in trying to meet the needs of everybody. Now it's about being poor. And if you're poor, you're going to be part of American underclass. You're an untouchable now. In the face of the untouchable, while folks may want to stereotype it as being black, it's everybody's color now, because you either have money or you don't have money. And those that don't are the ones who are going to suffer in the, whether it's the inner city or whether it's the suburbs. If there's no goods and services, if bridges keep falling down on people, if all these things are such that the gap between aspiring to have a lot of money and not having any at all is too big for most folks to overcome, it's going to be just like in the Middle Ages. It's going to be the feudal days 2.0. Now, you won't see horses and castles and moats and dragons and all that kind of stuff, but you will see more increased difficulty in getting from point A to B. I mean, who wants to travel cross country if the highways are broken? You know, if you want to go somewhere, who's going to fly when it's a risk to fly because the air traffic controllers have been sitting in towers for 18 hours and they're tired? And we know if they make a mistake, the consequences will be felt all over. But it's all in austerity, so the people they could have in there, the more jobs, they don't want them in there. Deliberate machinations on the part of politics by both parties, by people whose interests are only to those select few who have money and consider themselves elites. This has gone way beyond color, gentlemen. This is about rich and poor, and they're trying to make as many poor as they possibly can, and the people that are willingly allowing this to happen, those are the ones that we have to worry about. Those are the ones watching American Idol and worrying more about whether Shantae got more votes than Fantasia or whatever the hell it is, you know, because they're not paying attention to the politics in front of them.
That's right. And the American public better wake up, because the more we do this, the more we're going to lose. We're losing. Every single day we're losing. What happened in London a couple days ago, it's going to repeat itself over and over again. Why?
Gary, that's why I made the comment about Mayor Netta, because, again, we had the same problem here in Richmond, where you have black politicians doing the business of their masters and destroying our community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to be racist now. All you got to do is put a black face. We got a guy named Bishop Jackson who, on the fourth ballot, not the first, not second, but the fourth ballot, is on the Republican ticket here to be Attorney General. Now, again, this is the same guy. It's already talking about President Obama being a Muslim, same guy talking about abortion, same guy wanting to do the Tea Party line. But yet, he was seen here in Richmond over Church Hill walking around the black community, shaking hands and everything, with no media around him. Of course, you know, my people calling to him what's going on, so he put his black ass on blast. And the same night, he went and did a Mitt Romney, did a private meeting with some, should we say, undercover people, and nobody was allowed to be at that function. And you tell me what time it is.
Oh, well, even worse than him, Reggie, somebody like a what is that fool's name? Jesse Peterson, Reverend Jesse Peterson.
Oh yeah,
and
that jacket.
I'll put it like
you
did. The Reverend Jesse Peterson.
Yeah, the Reverend
talking
Peterson.
About how slavery was a good thing because it provided jobs. I mean, are you out of your funny rabbit blinking mind? I mean, you can't get more stupid and abusive than that. And that somebody would willingly show like that is proof that the face of the overseer never has to be a white one. Whoever holds the whip is the person tormenting you. And if it's a black hand holding that whip,
yes, sir.
It's going to sting just as much as a white one handling it.
If not worse.
Exactly.
Yo, you there, Big G?
Reggie was sounding like he was trying to dodge the whip.
I think that's what because they lost by 24 points on the bowling.
Oh, see, that's it. See, I wasn't going
to
bring that up.
I had to bring it up. Man, y'all got to let me down, Big G.
Hey,
you
hey,
let
hey,
me
hey,
down,
hey.
Big G.
Mike,
he texted me 3 o'clock in the morning. Mike, he texted 3 o'clock in the morning. Said we lost by pin count. I said, I'm in 24. I said, Big G, you choked.
No,
you
didn't
see
that,
Gary.
See that, Gary? That's what happens when you allow Dallas Cowboy fans in and go on too long.
Yeah, go loves company, buddy.
we're gonna have to jump in the 6G. It looks like we're gonna have to take a trip down to Richmond.
Come on,
I'll be down.
Hey, Mike, you in Richmond? Hey, Mike, can you show me that Vince Lombardi trophy that the Eagles got? Oh, that's right, they don't have one. But you got Arena Football Championship. Go Arena Football.
It's on. That's all right.
Oh,
you're going to be sitting at home in February, too, and you're going to be screaming, how about them Cowboys and where are my tickets?
Can you just
because
give me
ain't
one
gonna
trophy,
be there.
Mike?
They ain't going to be in New York.
Hey, that's fine, but just give me one. Can y'all friends just give us one Lombardi trophy?
They ain't
going to
be
one
in New York. They ain't going to. As long as you got that food. As long as you get that food behind center, you ain't going to see New York. You got to get there before you do.
Hey, I'm in agreement with you. You get no argument out of me. Hey, but, Mike, can y'all just give me one Lombardi trophy, just one? Even y'all try.
I'm just going to have to call Mike up and say, you know, when y'all play Dallas this time, y'all have to run that score the fuck out. I'm sorry. I got to punish them boys.
That's right.
You're
going
to
have to
punish
them. So you got
to
take out during the season.
Okay, hey,
I just want one Lombardi trophy.
Can
you give me one? Hey, even the Raiders. Hey, Gary, how many Raiders got? About two or three Lombardi trophies?
Three.
And then y'all beat the Eagles on one of them? Oh, I'm sorry.
Now,
I see that pass.
Jaworski
threw our interception. It's going out the way.
We're going to have to handle this.
Oh, God. I can't wait to show them. Come on. Oh, I want some of her behind, too.
Now, see, I want you to take every ass whipping we lay on y'all this year personally.
Oh, God.
See, I was doing it before, but don't take it personally. You're going to take it real personally now.
Oh, boy.
No. Hey, take this ass woman like a man, Mike. I'm going to call you out sunshine. Hey, Mike, we're going to call the Eagles sunshine.
We don't
hide anywhere. We're going to come down
sunshine. But when we put that ass, just admit it, go about your business, because you're going to have to go about your business another two times this year. But I digress, as you like to say.
I'm sorry, Gary, it's your show. I apologize.
I'm sorry,
Gary.
This is Gary's show. This is taking over Gary's show.
Oh,
my side hurts.
This summer, and we go back this summer, we're going to go over to Reno. Over in Reno this summer. I can't wait for summer. Summer league.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Yeah,
we know how that go.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming. Go. I hope you come out.
Anytime, G.
Monday, we'll do it. We're going to do a Memorial Day thing on Monday. I hope you guys come on there. But 6 p.m. my dime, and I'll be your dime.
All right, G, and I hope you all will pop in tomorrow evening. We'll be on from 9 to 11 East Coast time, 6 to 8 West Coast. We're going to have our monthly music show where we're going to do a little recognizing ourselves. We're going to play a little jazz, a little funk, just a little bit of everything to go along with the spirit, because people be barbecuing, grilling, and chilling and all that. It'd be time for things to quiet down. So if you have the opportunity, come on and check us out. The Maywind edition of the Soul Tree Radio and the Ross Baker's Banquet, Sunday night from 9 to 11. We might even let Cowboy Reggie play some.
Okay. Well, Cowboy, here we go. Any last things for the weekend?
Yeah, brother, I got a last flick. I ran this down on my show, and I want everybody to give this some thought that's listening out there in the cold. Everybody, if you don't know who J.K. Rowling, you know who Harry Potter is. Well, J.K. Rowling developed the character, and, you know, Harry Potter went on to be this, you know, billion-dollar industry and whatnot between the movies and the books and all the other things and theme parks now and all that other stuff. But what was unique about J.K. Rowling was she started in the most humblest of beginnings in Great Britain. And because there was a support apparatus for her growing up in what would be their equivalent of the projects, she was able to develop storylines for Harry Potter. And she became a wealthy person. You juxtapose that with somebody like Steve Jobs, you know, the former CEO of Apple, and the fact that, as we speak, there are politicians who are lobbying to protect the interests of Jobs, and I mean Jobs meaning Steve, not Jobs for working people, but Jobs, Exxon, General Electric, by making sure that nobody holds them accountable for the fact that they're not paying taxes. But I pointed out Jobs and Apple because I found out recently that apparently Apple should be paying roughly $44 million in taxes.
Woo!
A day. A day! Think about that, G. That's unsavvy.
$44 million?
That's obscene money. Now, forgive me if I can't pinpoint as to whether it was daily or weekly, but no matter how you slice it, that's a lot of damn money. And if they're supposed to be paying that kind of tax money, and this is just one company in Apple, we already know if General Electric were paying their taxes, if Exxon and all the major oil companies were paying their taxes, would we have these kind of problems now? I don't think so. And we may still have some austerity issues, but we wouldn't be in the situation where we are. Think about it. If all the oil companies are paying taxes, G, we wouldn't have bridges falling down because they would get fixed. But it's, and I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but when the oil companies and their lobbies stop high-speed trains from being built in states like Texas where you could use it, or California where you could use it, where they've been proposing over 20 years a high-speed rail line to get you from one end of Cali to the other, while China, who has spent our money that we owe them on high-speed railways that are faster, cheaper, more efficient, and we can't do that because all our stuff is breaking down in front of us, I have to believe that's deliberate, G. And to go back to J.K. Rowling before it gets too late, J.K., has just as much opportunity to hide her money in tax shelters like Mittens did in the Cayman Islands and all these other places. And she said, I'm not hiding a damn dime. It was because of Britain's system that I was able to be a success. So I don't care if I have to pay a higher tax bracket. I'm doing for them because they did for me. Now, these American companies need to do for American citizens like we've done for them by giving them their business and pay the damn taxes just as we do every April 15th.
I ain't going to do that, but you have a president, Mr. Bush Jr., who incites corporations to do that. Look, you have a credit card company. You have a credit card company all over the country.
Very obscene about that, Gary. But the mindset that a J.K. Rowling has used to be in this country, there were people who became wealthy here who said, no problem, you know, I'm rich. I'm paying my fair share because I got it like that. Y'all helped me to get this. I'm glad to give my share back. But we don't see that spirit anymore. For every Warren Buffett who understands that, you've got a bunch of dick dastardlies underneath him who are hiding their money every chance they get, whether it be through corporate loopholes or tax shelters like in the Caribbean. You know, they don't care. And it's not about they don't have the money. It's not like they're going to lose everything. They're hiding money they made here.
Yeah.
That's the insulting part. They made the money. It's not like it was like from drugs or any illegal activity. It was legal cash that they refused to pay a fair return on tax-wise. But yet, you know, you and I, if we don't pay our taxes and they decide to take a peek at it, our black asses are going to jail. You know, where is the balance? And that a J.K. Rowling would think like that is laudable, but it's not. It shouldn't be unusual. We should all feel that way, and we should all be compelled to do what's right. And we don't see that in America anymore. So that's my last slip.
Thank you, my man. All I want is someone to go anytime. Like, I'm going to go over the tree. I'm going to go over the tree. Same thing.
All righty. That's
good. Good patrol. Welcome back. Come and join the caravan anytime.
No doubt. And to everybody out there on the caravan, have a great and safe Memorial Day weekend. No drinking and driving. And also, remember, boycott Monsanto. Look at what you are reading on those labels when you go to the supermarket. I don't care what the deal is. Pay more attention to the food now, because that's what's going to be the thing that affects us most.
Yeah.
There's a worldwide protest as we speak. People are going against Monsanto and what Monsanto stands for. I don't know if you guys know, but recently they captured honeybees that were resistant to their pesticides, and they deliberately killed the queens so they could find a way how to kill those remaining bees. Now, you know, it can't get lower than that. That's not a company that's looking to benefit humanity. So y'all think about that. Look at those labels when you go to the supermarket, when you're making your feasts for the barbecues. And also remember the vets who take care of us, who have taken care of us, who serve our country. You know, remember them as well, and have a great weekend and be safe.
Thank you, my brother. Have a good weekend.
All right, brother. You too. Take care.
Take care. Michael Lewis Ingram and Reggie Al. Reggie Al from WCLM. 40s indeed. Arzo, River, Virginia. And Michael Lewis Ingram, George Regulator Raw. Well, I'm gonna ask the assistant of 609. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's up? What's up?
I'm wondering, have you seen the movie 42?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And I'm gonna do your article. I'm gonna do the article on that now.
Oh, okay.
And the article is gonna say, I want my game back. What I mean by my game back is, as of 2013, there are 87 African-American baseball players in the league. You have four teams have zero, and again, zero African-Americans. And that happened in 1956. 1956 is the last time 14 had zero African American players. And mind you, there were only 16 teams back then. Today there are 30 teams. That's double the number. So what I'll say in the article is you will not see a 250 batting average with African American. You will not see an average baseball player, African American, in baseball today. Because if you're black, you have to be a superstar. Okay? That's the problem with baseball today. How many Go ahead, Mom.
No, when you said you have to be a superstar, I remember being in a segregated elementary school, and we were told by the teaching principal, because he taught three classes, and that we had to be better than, and whatever test that we took, we had to do better than, and it was just drilled into us, and that has changed, and he has it.
Well, that's right.
Still have to be.
And baseball got worse.
Huh?
And baseball got worse.
Oh, in baseball. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it seemed like we as a people are athletically not inclined, but athletic. We have athletic ability that supersede people of other persuasions. However, you have to have an opportunity show that you can do not only an opportunity, but take the opportunity. Many youth today are not interested in sports, and I can understand why, because they see how they're treated and that it's unequal. And again, you have to be better than. Unfortunately, that's the rule of the game. And there are those who are not willing to pay that price in order to become involved in any one sport at all, any one professional sport at all.
Well, young African Americans are tired of the game. They're tired of the game that baseball is playing.
Baseball is not the only one that's playing that game.
Well, yeah, but baseball playing it really big time.
More blatant.
Right. What I mean is, you have Barry Bonds, who gets thrown out of the game. He literally gets blackballed for the game. And you have Mark McGuire, who commits the same crime, the same thing. And he's back in the game, coach, and batting coach.
He's a batting coach?
Yes.
Oh.
This is kind of nonsense that baseball does. You have Ryan Braun, Milwaukee Brewers outfielder, who got caught with steroids, and Melky Cabrera, the guy. And what happened to Melky Cabrera is he got suspended from the game. Ryan Braun still playing. And if you keep doing that, you know what?
There are inequities all over the place.
We're gonna say, forget this. And the movie 42. It made it very clear what baseball was doing. In 1947, it was about black. It was about white. it was about Green. When the LA Dodgers five people up and down the East Coast became Dodger fans. Okay? Whenever the Dodgers went, five people came to watch their games. It was Monday.
Yeah.
Okay? So now, we're coming to this right now. Nobody cares. That's the problem. We have African Americans who don't care about baseball.
Well, if they don't care, there's another piece to that, is that tickets have become out of, it's no longer a family sport you can go share an afternoon with because the tickets are so high. And if you, personally, if I were to go to a game once a year, that would be about all I could afford at this point. Because the tickets are just too high, or else you sit up in the bleachers and have nosebleeds.
Well, baseball, I mean, baseball is like a petulant little child. A petulant little child doesn't want to change. Every other sport has moved into the future, except baseball. Every sport. What am I talking about? Football, basketball, hockey, and in the replay. Where's baseball in the replay? There is none. Or there is one in the home run. That's it. You know why?
Who needs an instant replay of a home run?
Well,
a home run
about.
Is a home run.
It was very well.
Okay.
That's the only thing baseball used to replay for. What about the call first base? What about strike is a questionable strike?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They should have instant replay of that. Yeah. I agree with you.
Baseball is dragged. I mean, it dragged in divisions. It dragged it for the playoffs. It dragged it. It's constantly dragging its feet. And that's why baseball is the way it is. There's no vision. So you have a 3-hour game. Why? Why is that 3 hours? Because it's baseball. Really?
So what you're saying is that baseball has not entertained a modern technology, plus Jackie Robinson was put on a team so that black folks could go to the game and thus increase their revenue.
Yeah. And what happened 20 years later?
Mm.
I mean, no more Negro Leagues.
Oh, no. That's true.
Okay?
That was a mistake.
And the people need to really look at this very carefully. Jackie Robinson was in a mainly baseball in 1947. In 1961, the Negro League disappeared. Within 8-9 more years, motels, hotels, movie theaters were gone. Why? Because people sold them.
Oh my!
That you can't find a black owned hotel.
That's true.
Movie theater. this is what happened. You won't hear this from any politician. You won't hear this from President Obama. Why? Because they got money out of the corporation.
When you say it's Friday by black, and I'm thinking there is no black business down where we live. So how can we buy black?
I have one reason to put money back in the black community. That's why every week it's Friday. Mm-hmm. Buy black? Mm-hmm. For 5 minutes, did you buy black?
Mm.
Okay.
But you have to find it wherever it is.
If you find it, work it.
Or a needle in a haystack. In this area, anyway.
We are killing ourselves. Okay, how do we do this?
That's true. We do. We undermine ourselves and we fight each other and stuff like that. But getting back to 42. I'll be honest with you, I didn't remember what his number was until the movie came out. Now I remember it because I've spoken it several times. And I do know in the late 40s that there was a great deal of discrimination and segregation in the North, so that that which they showed that he experienced was just like the surface of what he experienced. It really didn't go in depth. And I'm not even sure that they could go in depth, because they would have to, they would almost have to have him tell what happened in his life after he began to play for them.
One episode.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
That's in 1940.
That was in 1940s.
So it was the most racist team in the National League. And it didn't change that much. And I question the police today.
Mm.
Because in 1964... they had a star named Richie Allen. Richie Allen was one of the best first basemen baseball ever had. And one problem. Richie Allen was an African American. Richie Allen was a political activist. Richie Allen didn't hold his tongue, whatever the situation was. And being in Philadelphia, you know, that lasts about 3 years. He said, bye-bye, Richie, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Richie went to Chicago and became a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know how stupid that is?
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna trade a player because you don't politically suit your needs. And then one would say, yes, ma'am, and no, sir.
Mm.
Okay? So what happened to the Phillies? They were the worst team in baseball for years. You remember back in the 60s? That team stunk. There's a reason for that. They didn't want good baseball players.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Can you name one black baseball player for the Phillies? Superstar?
Mm-mm.
Thank you. End the conversation. There you go.
They moved to other they moved to other teams and became.
That's right.
Okay.
You have two guys now, Howard and Rollins. Now, you hear Howard and Rollins, but that's what you have. They're gone. And they make one mistake, they're out of there. That's enough.
Did Howard have an injury?
Huh?
Did Howard have an injury of some kind?
They keep dogging him. And one day the wife said, that's Philadelphia.
Well, I don't follow it that close. I just kind of remember somewhere along the line that he did receive an injury of some kind. And wondered if he was back. He's back pitching. He's a pitcher, right?
Playing first base.
Oh, he plays first base.
I'll play first base.
Okay.
What I need you to do now is read the part from Bowling and Tennis and Bowling and Tennis stuff.
Bowling?
I'm not where I'm supposed to be right now.
PGA?
PGA, all that stuff, yeah.
Okay. PGA, they're swinging in Fort Worth, Texas for the Crown Plaza Invitational.
Yeah.
As Tiger-Sergio feud continues with neither golfer backing. Backing down.
Yep.
The night it got racial and nasty with Garcia making the chicken comment at the European Dinner Awards.
Yep.
It's just something for the writers and ESPN to talk about.
Yep.
But now it has taken a tone of its own. 14-year-old Juan Tian Lang will compete with Augusta National, a.k.a. Jack's House.
Yep, that's ridiculous.
The ladies are in the Bahamas for the Pure Silk LPGA Classic.
I want to go there, too.
PBA. G-I-G-O takes over Geico.
Yeah.
Over the tour with the PBA Summer Swing in Wisconsin.
Yep.
At tennis, last week Serena Williams wins over Azarenka,
yep,
the Italian Open, and as Nadal beats Federer. This week they are in Strasbourg, France, and Brussels, Belgium,
yep,
for the Brussels Open before the big two-week grind of the French Open at Roland Garros next week. Next week they're going to be at the French Open.
Yep.
IRL. All eyes are on the Indy 500. It's that time of year. And they will be racing in Monte Carlo for the Monaco Grand Prix. Taking a look at NASCAR. They are riding the rails of Charlotte, North Carolina for the Coca-Cola 600 as Jamie McMurray wins last week's Sprint Showdown in Charlotte.
Great.
That's it for today.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Close up now. My name is Ingram, but don't regular wrong. and yeah, I'm already on WZM or DVD, Richmond, Virginia, D-Rock, Brothers Market. I'm Jack Dre. Hope you had a good weekend, a good Memorial Day.
And welcome to the new sponsor, Virginia
right.
Reality Group Sports Group.
Roslyn, Virginia. And D-Rock Brothers Market in Eldridge, California. Hope you guys have a good weekend and a good week and a good Memorial Day. And all the people in armed forces, past and present, thank you for your service. We wouldn't be here without you. Have a good night and a good week. Never COVID out.